So I want to welcome y'all to this series of sermons that I'm going to be doing during Lent. The series is called The Third Day. We just said that, didn't we, when we joined in the Apostles' Creed? On the third day, he rose from the dead. The sermons are going to be based on this book by the same name, The Third Day. This book is written by the bishop of the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church. His name is Tom Berlin. And I know it's Lent, and I know that we're waiting for Easter, and we're getting a little close in the sermons that we'll be using. I know we're really supposed to be thinking about Jesus' suffering and death, and thinking about how we should change the way we live and the way we think so we could be more like him. And we'll do more Lenty sermons next year, I promise. Lenty's a word, but I may do that. See, I got to thinking about how sometimes, even though we do Lent right, I mean, even though we faithfully walk through these 40 days with Jesus to the cross, it's really easy to miss a heck of a lot of the stuff that's going on in the Gospels. Even if we read our Lenten devotions, by the way, on the back table, if you did not get one of these Wednesday night at the Ash Wednesday service, there's a devotional booklet. Please pick one up and take it home with you. There may be extras, so you can take one to a friend if you would like to do that. So, you know, even though we read this book and even though we observe Holy Week, we're having, on Monday, Thursday, we're having the community Jesus meal. We'll be doing a lot of thinking about that particular night that led up to Jesus's death and resurrection. And then Friday night, we'll be having the Tenebrae service, the Good Friday service. So we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. And when Easter finally gets here, we really do celebrate, don't we? We hug each other and we say, "Hallelujah, he is risen." And we reply, "Yes, he is risen indeed." Some of us watch the sun rise. I mean, we party. And then it's over. And we take our Easter lilies home with us, and we wonder what to do with them after the blooms fall off. Do we put them in the trash can? Or do we plant them in the ground? You know, we hide the eggs, and we cook the ham, and we eat the ears off the Easter bunny. And then we just sort of move back into the normal rhythm of things, don't we? I mean, you know, it's coming towards summer then, and vacation, and the beach, and the mountains, and all of that. And so much of the Easter story is left undiscovered. It's left untold, because we're moving on to other things. Things like the 40 days that Jesus spent on earth before he left for heaven. We just don't talk about that enough. Like the visits that Jesus had during that time with some of the people that he loved the most. And how those visits that Jesus had with them can help us to understand who Jesus is for us. It can challenge us and touch us and give us hope. That's the kind of stuff that changes our lives. I don't want to miss it. The third day is the day of resurrection. It's the beginning of all our stories. The third day is the day when hope broke through. So for this Lent in 2024, during our sermons, we're going to be overhearing these visits that Jesus had during those 40 days. Simon Peter will be next week, and then with Thomas, and Jesus' discussion with the disciples on the road to Emmaus will be the next week. And then later we'll move a little bit further. On the next week, we'll hear Jesus' conversation with Saul on the road to Damascus. And then as we move forward toward Easter, we'll hear a conversation from Jesus himself. And think about all that means to us. But for today, we're going to talk about Mary Magdalene. She's the first chapter in the book. She's one of the people in Scripture that has the most mystery around her. Lots of stories going on about Mary Magdalene. She's beautiful. There have been countless books written about her. You know, who exactly was she? And what kind of demons did she have? What was her relationship with Jesus? Well, what we know is that Mary Magdalene was and is highly honored She is called Apostolorum Apostola, Apostle to the Apostles. If you go to Krakow, Poland, and look at the church called St. Peter and Paul Church, you'll see that there are 12 pedestals with statues on them outside of the courtyard, the disciples. And Judas, the disciple who betrayed Christ, is not there. The people who planned that church, the building and grounds, way back in 1605, decided to give that 12th spot to Mary Magdalene. And there she is. And the title given her was Mary Magdalene, the Apostle of Hope. Mary Magdalene was a friend of Jesus. She was a disciple of Jesus. Jesus had healed her, and his presence in her life had saved her. We are quite certain that Mary Magdalene supported Jesus' ministry financially, that she traveled with him and was there to make things easier for him in any way that she could. She loved Jesus. There was no doubt about it. The way that we love one another in this church family. Mary Magdalene was highly honored all through Christendom because she carries the distinction of being the very first person that Jesus appeared to on that third day. She had come to the place where he had been buried in deep, deep grief. She was there preparing for burial. She had brought spices. She was going to anoint his body. But Jesus would have none of that. Instead, he gave her the honor of being able to tell the other disciples that he had risen, that he was alive, and he was soon to go and be with his Father. But the stories that Mary Magdalene had to tell about Jesus, the stories that she must have shared directly with the writers of the Gospel, because she appears in every one of the Gospels, and she would have been the only one who could have told them her story. The stories that she shared with the early church, some as many as 50 plus years after Jesus had died. These stories that she shared, I don't think came from her being up on a pedestal and being honored as an apostle. They didn't come from honor and hope. They didn't come from being in a good place, not at all. I think the memories that Mary Magdalene had and the stories that she told came from places of pain, from real trauma. So I want to share with you three things about Mary Magdalene just to help us to know her better and to help us to know about our relationship with Christ a little bit better as well. First, just 2 days earlier from the scripture that Sandy just read, 2 days before, Mary Magdalene had made herself endure the hours of Jesus' torture and crucifixion. She wouldn't leave. She couldn't leave. She had to be as close to him as she could possibly be. Now, it's hard to see somebody you love die. Some of you may have had that experience. Some of you may have not. I remember my mother. She was well into her 90s. She was at home with me when she died. It was just the two of us. Her weight had gotten down to like 85 pounds. It was time for mother to go, but still it was hard. That's what Ruth Odom's daughters were saying about her death. They were all with her, and they knew that it was time, and Ruth was ready to go. She really was. But it was still hard. And just imagine how hard it is when there's been an accident or somebody's died unexpectedly or it's a young person. I mean, seeing death is always hard and it can affect us for a long, long time. I think about all the men and women who come back from war, who've seen death on the battlefield, who've had to kill themselves on the battlefield, and they come back after doing things they could never have even imagined. And they are full of trauma. It takes a long time to get back into a normal life cycle. See, Jesus' arrest and trial was full of trauma. Because Jesus knew that for most of them it had just come out of nowhere. Everything was fine, they thought. The disciples had just shared the last meal with him. He had tried to tell them something, but they couldn't quite grasp it. And then all of a sudden, here's Mary Magdalene standing there watching Jesus being tortured, watching him being beaten with the whip that cut the skin and ripped the flesh apart. I mean, that's bad enough when someone is guilty of doing something horrible, but to be beaten and scourged in innocence must have been so hard for her to watch. And after he was beaten almost to death, Mary Magdalene had followed him step by step through Jerusalem toward the hill outside of the city where he was to die. She watched as he struggled to put one foot in front of the other through the pain and the agony of his broken body. And she wanted to help him, but they would not let her. And when they made it to Golgotha, Mary Magdalene stood helplessly at a distance with a small band of women for hours and hours and hours, looking away when she couldn't stand it and then forcing herself to look again until Jesus finally took his last painful breath. He was gone. Her light was gone. And then to make it even worse, time had run out. Sabbath had started and they couldn't even prepare his body for a proper burial. Instead, he was placed in a tomb nearby until the 36 hours had passed. Mary waited at the house where they were staying. I'm quite sure she couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep. All she could do was to think over and over and over again about the terrible things that she had seen over the last 2 days. How would she ever be able to get them out of her head? Mary carried with her the weight of trauma. Secondly, Mary was carrying the weight of grief. Jews in the first century didn't see heaven the same way that we do. There was a belief that one day the leaders, the Old Testament leaders like Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Joshua and Elijah, that they would return and set things right. But Mary wouldn't have been thinking about that as she watched Jesus die. She would have been like the family of the child whose funeral I did way back when I first came into ministry. It was one of the first funerals I did. And as hard as it is to lose a child, knowing that they're in God's embrace, imagine how very hard it would be to have no hope in any kind of life beyond life. It'd be almost too hard to bear. I could see that family, that young little family. I remember the young parents, and they didn't have any Christian education. They'd never been to church. They knew who Jesus was, but they didn't know about resurrection. They didn't know how to understand Jesus. They didn't know the depth of Jesus' love for us. And y'all, they were out of control in their grief. I've never seen anything like that. There was nothing for them to fall back on. There was nothing in which they could trust their child was gone. And they literally fell on the floor when they saw the tiny baby, the tiny body. They cried and moaned out loud during the funeral. I had to stop it once or twice just to let everybody get back under control. After it was over, they didn't want to leave the cemetery. They just wanted to stay. They couldn't bear the thought of getting in the car and leaving. And this is very likely what Mary Magdalene was bearing that day as she watched Jesus die. Because she was as devoted to him in death as she was in life. She just wanted to be close to him. Mary was filled with the grief that took her breath away. Trauma and grief. And finally, Mary was filled with anxiety. I'm saying these things because have you not felt some of these things yourself? I know I have. The Bible does not tell us what kind of demons possessed Mary Magdalene. Could have been physical, it could have been mental, it could have been spiritual, it could have been anything. Understanding of demons was different in that day than in today's world. But whatever it was, they were doing a number on her. Let me tell you, before she met Jesus, we have every indication that her life was one sorry day after another. She was struggling so hard. Any day when she could sleep all day and not have to see anybody was a good day for her. And then, there he was, Jesus. He healed her. His presence made the fear and the pain go away. Nobody knew how to explain it. It just was there. He saved her life. And she entered the world once again in a brand new way. See, I think that's why she was so very, very, very devoted to him. And now he's gone. Her strength and her anchor is dead. And she wonders, am I going to make it? How's this going to work? Just think about a man who all his life has struggled with anger issues. And finally his wife says to him, okay, if you want to save our marriage, you better go get some counseling and get this thing under control, fella. And wit. Save his marriage. And he gets it under control. He's not had an episode in years because he's learned this coping mechanism that helps him to catch himself before he has an outburst. Then one day he's sitting in traffic, probably I-85, or maybe Whitesburg at certain times of the afternoon, right? When everything stops, he doesn't have to worry. He knows he can handle it. After 10 minutes, he begins to get just a little bit antsy. You know that feeling? And then when he's been sitting there in the very same spot for 20 minutes and he realizes he's not going to make it to his daughter's recital, he loses it. He slams his hand on the steering wheel, honking at the universe, yelling words he has not used in years at the moon. His face gets all red and twisted. And the long line of traffic in front of him doesn't even shrug. They don't care. He soon realizes how absolutely ridiculous he is being. And he says, oh man, I thought I was over that. I imagine Mary Magdalene was feeling those same kind of thoughts. Am I all over the darkness of my past? Can I do it without him? What's going to happen? So trauma and grief and anxiety. Many of us have been there, have we not? And many of us are there now, are we not? And it's about as low as a person can possibly get. So when the first day, ray of daylight came, as the Sabbath came to an end, Mary makes her way to the tomb. She makes her way to Jesus. And she gets there and she goes, oh, what now? Because she sees that the stone has been rolled away. And she didn't know exactly what else to do, so she runs back to the house. And only two of the guys are up, Peter and John, having their coffee. So she grabs a hold of him and she says through her tears, y'all come on, come on. They have moved in, hurry. And all three of them run back. Peter and John go into the tomb, but there is nothing for them to see that they think needs attention. And so they go back home. Mary, however, could no more do that than the man in the moon. So she stood outside crying. And then she slowly put her head inside the tomb, inside the cave-like tomb. And she sees two angels. Men didn't see them, but Mary does. And they say, why are you crying? And then another voice says the same thing. Why are you don't you know it's Easter Sunday? She thinks the second voice is the gardener. And so she says, did you take him? Do you know where he is? Just tell me. I'll go get him. Like she's going to be able to carry him by herself. I'll go get him. You can just hear the desperation in her voice. And then all of a sudden, she hears it. Her name. There's no doubt. It's her name. Mary. And as soon as she hears, she knows it is not the gardener. It is Jesus. And just like that, in her reawakens the hope and the possibilities and the peace that she had found in life with him. It all comes flooding back. Once again, she's alive to hope, alive to discipleship, and alive to the knowledge that the death that she witnessed on the first day does not rule the third. What resurrection is. That's how it works. We don't know all the details, but in many different places we are given to understand that Mary Magdalene was a mess. That her life was full of pain. Not by her account, it was not her fault. That's just the place that she was. And when she thought that she had lost Jesus, she thought that she was lost again. But then she realized that God had raised her teacher, her friend, her healer from the dead, and now she wouldn't call him Jesus anymore. She would call him Lord. And there was nothing, nothing, nothing that could possibly keep them apart. She must have felt like she was flying on the wind as she ran back to the house to tell the others what she had seen and heard. And they weren't the last people she told. Mary Magdalene, I'm quite sure, told it and told it and told it. She told her story over and over and over. She said, you should have known me then. You should have seen me. Honey, you wouldn't believe what a mess I was. Jesus healed me. He loved me. And even though they tried to kill him, he couldn't die. He's with us here in the Holy Spirit. And there is no one he doesn't love. No one he won't invest in. Just look at crazy old me. So y'all, the church was built. And we carry on. On the stories of people like Mary Magdalene, the apostle of hope. The Lord calls our name every day, friends. Every day he says to us, just as he did to her, I love you. Now, go and tell the others that you has seen the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for Mary Magdalene. Thank you for the way that you just won't let us go. The way that you are the hound of heaven, seeking us out in every situation and restoring and healing and bringing us to life. As we go through this week, as we prepare to come again to this place next Sunday, we pray that you would touch us and that we would experience you in a brand new way and that we would go and tell others all about you. Amen. Amen.